Friends, turn to John chapter 6, please. And as this chapter opens before us, we find the Savior Jesus Christ preaching to a hungry multitude. And as he finishes his message, as we read together, they are on this mountain, and such a multitude, they have gone up this mountain. Oh, that we would have a people who would be willing to actually do something like this, to be willing to go up and to be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear him. We are living in a time of luxury. But may the Lord help us to be so committed to the Lord that nothing would be too hard for us to do for him, to only hear his voice. What a privilege it is to hear Christ. And as he finishes his message, he's aware that these people are in need. They are hungry. They are in need of food for their bodies. He's been speaking to them about their soul, but their body is hungry now. And so he does that which only God can do. He does that thing himself. He takes these five loaves that this lad had brought with him and the two fishes, and he feeds the multitude. The 5,000 men that are described there, but if you think about children who would have been there, women who would have been there, it is estimated that there would have been around 15,000 people on that mountain. And then after everyone has been fed, after everyone has been satisfied with the bread and the fish, then his disciples, the 12 of them, pick up 12 baskets. There is one basket for each disciple, full to the top. That's a great miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ has performed. And this remarkable miracle served as it were, a life-sized illustration for a sermon that the Lord Jesus was about to preach, a portion of which we have just read. And in this passage, we are presented with a new view or a new portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have here the bread of life, the bread for our souls. This is the kind of bread that we must eat. This is the kind of bread that our soul needs. And so this is an interesting portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to you, gave you that illustration of John's gospel. It is, as it were, a corridor. It is a gallery. And in this gallery, there are pictures of the Savior. And here we find him as the bread of life. And since bread is a substance known and used by every society, every person has had bread on this face of this earth. Bread is consumed by people everywhere. And by the same token, most people enjoy their bread. There probably are people who don't like bread, but I haven't met anybody who doesn't like bread. Some people don't like certain kind of food. Some people don't like their vegetables. Children, you may not like your vegetables, but I haven't met a child who doesn't like bread. Bread is also, it has a satisfying quality that other food produces for us. And when all this is taken together, it becomes clear why Jesus Christ is portrayed as the bread of life, bread of heaven. Now, as we take time to dissect these words of our Lord, I want us to see that Jesus Christ was not the spiritual bread then, but he is now for our souls the bread of our life. If you are going to live, if your life is going to be sustained, it cannot be sustained by the bread that the world provides, by the bread and the ideas and the thoughts and the teaching and the counsels that the world around us would provide. If you seek to live according to what the TV channels and the media would tell you, you would be most miserable. And why is it that people are today very miserable, very much scared? It's because they're feeding upon those things. But our stable diet must be Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven. He is what the whole world needs. That's why we must preach him. He satisfies all those who partake of him. Everyone who takes Jesus Christ and trusts in him is nourished. Think about it. Who wouldn't tolerate the Lord Jesus? And yet we have a world that when you mention about Christianity and when you mention about Jesus Christ, they don't tolerate him. They would tolerate everything else. But if we say only Christ supplies your need, they cannot tolerate that. When we say that Jesus Christ is the only joy that a sinner can have, they cannot tolerate it. But let's concentrate now. Maybe you get distracted throughout the week, but pray to God that you don't get distracted now. As you look to Jesus Christ from this passage as the bread of life. And the first thing that I want us to notice is that this bread is not merely a lifeless object, but it's the person, the personality of heaven's bread. That's what I want us to think about right now. And in verses 34 and 35, we read this. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is a person. This bread that they are asking for, they think this is the physical bread, some kind of bread that they can actually physically eat. But Jesus Christ says, no, no, this is a person we are talking about. This is me. So according to this bread that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, the bread of heaven, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is not some system of belief, or this is not a church or a denomination, but he's a person. And so this truth simply serves to remind us that we can never be saved by some religious system. We can't be saved by some method. Our sins cannot be forgiven simply because we have gone through certain rules and we have followed certain laws. No, no. Salvation comes through a person. That's Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because it was Jesus Christ who paid the price of our sins. It was Jesus Christ who actually was crushed under the mighty hand of his Father so that our sins might be forgiven. Salvation comes through him and Jesus alone. And that's what the apostles kept preaching. Neither is there salvation in any other, the apostles preached. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the message. It's an exclusive message, but it's the true message. And you have to ask yourself, what is truth? What is truth? What is true? And Jesus Christ only speaks truth. That's why we read those words, verily, verily. What does that mean? It means truly, truly. He's speaking truth to us. He doesn't lead us astray. He doesn't lead us into error. And then something else that you find, that this is not just a person, but is a powerful person. This bread here is a powerful bread. When you go to buy flour to make something, sometimes you're being told, if you're a husband going to do shopping, your wife might say, get the strong flour. This is not the kind of thing we are talking about here. This is the power of God. This heavenly bread has the power to transform lives. This heavenly bread has the power to save. To save someone who's under guilt of sin. This is so powerful that secures the soul, that the soul never is lost. This bread from heaven is so powerful that he satisfies every sinner who comes to him by faith. This is what separates the Lord Jesus Christ from all the religions and all the self-proclaimed messiahs of this world. While so many people promise great things, while leaders would promise great things, they can never deliver. But what happens at the end of the day? They die. The ideas of this world would simply lead to death. Jesus, on the other hand, promises and gives life. He promises and gives security. He promises and gives hope. He promises and gives forgiveness to you. And there is absolute safety for our souls. Is that what you have? Or what you have is all uncertainties. And he delivers this powerful thing to our souls every time. So here it is. People are asking for a different kind of bread, but he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. If you feed on other things, you will hunger. If you try to feed on other ideas, you will always be disappointed, but not when you come to Christ. But then something else. There is promise in this. He promises. This is the bread that promises. This is the heavenly bread. This is the person who is so powerful, and he promises something. And that's what you find in verses 47 through to 51. The promise of the Lord. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, in verse 47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. This is my promise. Those who believe on me, those who trust in me, they already have everlasting life. It's in present tense. It's not that they will have one day, but they already have. They possess everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is what happened to them. They died at the end. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So these verses tell us that this heaven's bread will give men life, will give women life. This bread from heaven will give children life. Physical bread, as they had it from in form of the manna, it sustains human life for, yes, long period of time. However, after a time, the body will still die. Your body, my body, will one day die with all the stuff that we put in ourselves, be it healthy or unhealthy. At the end of the day, we are going to die. Our bodies will die. Yet Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is the bread that gives everlasting life. So when we receive Christ by faith, he gives a salvation that lasts for all eternity. And so nothing can ever take that away from the saints of God. Nothing can take that away from those who trust in the Savior. And the simple fact is this: every person who places their faith in Christ, they can feed on him, they are sustained by him, they are nourished by him every day. And in verse 53, you see the price of this heaven's bread. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Before heaven's bread can be enjoyed by sinners like us, it must be received by the sinner. So that's what the Lord is saying. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you. And this is a simple enough thing, but many seem to stumble right here. They can believe that Jesus Christ was real. So we can make a mental assent to it that, yes, I believe he was real. Yes, I believe that he died on the cross. We can say that. We can believe that. It's a historical fact. And even that he rose from the dead, we can believe that. However, to make his sacrifice and the salvation that he presents a reality in your life and in my life, you and I, we must come to him by faith and we must trust in him and be born again. Imagine if you are invited to my house for dinner and I pass you a warm plate of warm bread buns with soup. And I pass it on to you and I will ask you, well, would you like a bun? And you would politely say, yes, yes, I will have this warm bun. Yes, thank you. But instead of reaching out and instead of taking it, you simply sit there, you're simply smiling at me. And then I say, well, I thought you wanted a bread bun. And you say, yes, I do. I do want one. And my response to you would be, well, if you want it, you're going to have to reach out and take it for yourself. I'm not going to put it on your plate. And there is the saying, stretch or starve. And the same applies to the spiritual life. You must reach out to the Lord and call upon him and trust in him with all your heart. Salvation works in a similar way. Jesus Christ has already done everything that is necessary to save the sinner. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And he calls the sinner to come to him. We can't save ourselves, but he calls us to go to him, to trust in him. And so he says to us, this is a costly thing. This coming to him, it means that you die to yourself. You turn away from all that you have been, and you look to Christ only for your salvation. It's a great price to pay. And so this is what we have throughout the Bible. For example, in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, you have those very famous words that are often repeated. Ho! He says, look, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come, the scripture says to us. But this coming means you receive by faith. Notice again in verse 47 what the Lord says. In verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So this is all connected with the eating. Eating means believing. Believing in Christ. That word means simply to rest the totality of your weight upon the Lord. You rest your soul in Christ. So that means it isn't Jesus plus something else. It is not Jesus plus this or that. It is Jesus Christ alone that saves the soul of man. And this is the thing that is repeated again and again in the scriptures. And this is what we preach. So this bread is a person. But also, see how this heaven's bread is presented to us. The earlier verses that we read in this chapter, verses 1 through to 11, it's illustrated by this miracle that the Lord performed in the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord Jesus Christ presented a type of himself. He's shown caring for multitudes. Is shown providing for the multitude and satisfying the multitude. And so the implication is that the Lord Jesus, like the physical loaves and the fishes, is sufficient for the need of mankind. It's sufficient for anybody, anyone's need. And you may say to me, well, you don't know my background. You may say to me, you don't know my trials and troubles. You don't know what it is that I'm longing after. Well, I don't know, but the Lord knows. Jesus Christ knows. And this is a picture. He is sufficient for everything, all of your needs. And notice, every man, it says, as much as they would, as much as they would. In verse 11, for example, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were there, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. As much as they wanted. They could have. There's no limitation on this bread. There's no limitation on Jesus Christ. They could fill themselves of the fishes and the bread. And it's a picture. We can fill ourselves with Christ and be satisfied. There was also still an abundance left over in verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Over and above, it says. So even though you think about, spiritually speaking, now, and throughout the history of the world, even though there have been millions upon millions of souls who have come to trust in Jesus Christ, who have received his strength, received his power, Jesus Christ's power is not diminished. He still has power. He still blesses us. Think about it. If you are a Christian, how many prayers he has answered? How many things he has done? How many miracles he has done? And yet he has power still. How many people has... they have received the grace of God and been saved. What is this telling us? There's still grace for one more. There's still grace of salvation for others. Still. And so you might think, well, this person, that person in my family, they have been converted, but I'm not converted. I don't think I'll ever be converted. I think I'll just go through my life being miserable and in my sin. Well, friends, here is the promise of God. This is a great encouragement for us. There is still grace, always grace, for one more. Jesus is sufficient for the needs of any sinner. And people wear themselves out by trying to appease God. They're trying to appease their own conscience. They're trying to make themselves feel better about themselves by all kinds of things. But it never answers your needs. It never satisfies you. But Jesus Christ is the answer for your need. He's received just like the bread that they took on that mountain. By simple faith. By trusting in him. They just had to sit and take. That's all it was. They had to sit and take as the bread was coming to them, and they could just take more and take more until they were satisfied. And this is a picture of faith. We are to sit and trust in Christ. We are to go through life trusting Christ. And he gives more and more and more grace every day. He won't lack a single grace for each day. And that's why when the Apostle Paul cried to God for healing, 3 times the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He was giving him the bread of life. And it works the same for all sinners. All the lost man has to do is to receive Jesus Christ by faith. And what is the result? Salvation is the result. And then the Lord speaks about the manna. You see, the Jews come to him in verses 30 through to 33. And they request a miracle, as if he has not done a miracle already. I don't know what is a miracle if the feeding of the 5,000 is not a miracle. And they remind the Lord Jesus, as if he wouldn't know, that in the Old Testament, there was the miracle of manna. And they tell the Lord Jesus that Moses gave the children of Israel manna from heaven. And they want to know if he's going to do something as well, some sort of miracle, some sign they request of him. And Christ's response is to remind them that Moses was not responsible for the manna, but it was actually God that provided. The provision came from the Lord. And he goes to tell them that the true bread from heaven is a person. And in fact, it is Jesus Christ himself who is the bread of life. And so he says in verse 33, ye sent Sorry. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is the bread of God. It's a person who comes down from heaven. I am the bread of life, he says. And so what the Lord Jesus is saying is that he is that true manna. He was the picture being pictured in the manna. Well, think about it. How was he pictured in the manna? And you can turn to Exodus chapter 16, and there it describes manna and what it was like and so on. And let me remind you of a few things. The manna that came from heaven, it was a small round thing, Bible says. It was a small thing. In verse 14 of Exodus 16, it tells us, and Jesus says, he is that manna that came from heaven. What does that mean? What is it about the smallness that talks about there is speaking about Christ's humility. You see, Christ came as a tender plant. He wasn't born in a king's palace, but in a lowly place, and he was placed in a manger after he was born. He never used the riches at his disposal, but he lived a poor life all the time that he was in this world. He borrowed everything he had. He came this way in order to identify himself with the sinners that he came to save. And it says that the manna was a round thing, a small round thing. What does that tell us? The roundness of the manna speaks of eternity, the eternal nature of Jesus Christ. There is never end. Jesus Christ had not any beginning. His beginning was not in Bethlehem. But he has always been, as John tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and that's why he can save us. There has never been a time when Jesus Christ has not been. There will never be a time when he will not be. He is the I am, he says. And it was white. It was a small, it was round, it was white. And this reminds us that Jesus Christ is sinless. There is no mark in him. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. So he's talking about the holy nature of Jesus. He was born without sin. He lived without sin. He died without sin, even though he died in the place of sinners. He was absolutely impeccable. He was absolutely sinless in his character because he's the Son of God. But also the manna came at night. All of these things are pictures, symbolic of Jesus Christ. The manna came at night. What does that tell you? That Jesus Christ came into a benighted world. He came to a world lost in spiritual darkness, and he gives light. He gives life to sinners. And the manna was misunderstood by those who saw it at the beginning. They called it manna. And do you know what manna means? It simply means, what is it? It's a question. Manna, what is it? And Jesus Christ was misunderstood by the very people he came to save. He came unto his own, the scripture says, and his own received him not. So he's more than a teacher, my friends. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a poor, unfortunate man who got himself killed upon a cross. He is the Son of God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So don't mistake him. And the manna that came was sufficient for every man's hunger. Anybody who took the manna and ate of it, they would have been satisfied. And so is Christ. You think about it, God gave them in the wilderness for nearly 40 years the manna. Every day they received it. And also, you think about it too, the manna was sweet, sweet to their taste. It tasted something like honey, the scripture says. And by the same token, all those who turn away from finding their own way in life and give up their sin and turn to Jesus Christ. You see, all the sins of this world, all the other things that you go after, they would always be bitter. They would always be bitter. But if you turn to Christ by faith as the only Savior, you will find Him to be sweet to your soul. You will find Him to be satisfying to your life. And that's why we are encouraged by David to taste and see that the Lord is good. And the manna was to be kept and also to be passed on. The Exodus 16:32 says, and it's the same with the Lord Jesus, He's to be shared with those who cross our path. We are to be certain that we share Him to the next generation, because we are only one generation away from extinction as a people. At any given time, this faith must be passed on. So much more could be said. But this is the thing. This manna illustrates who Christ is. He is the Master. He is that ultimate bread. The Israelites ate manna in the wilderness and eventually they died. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you eat of me, you will not hunger and you will not die. Not now, not ever. So think about this. Have you this manna? Have you taken Jesus Christ? Are you, if you're a Christian, are you feeding on Him or are you feeding on other things? And I would say to you, if you are at the moment worried, if you're anxious, if you are concerned about this and that and what's happening around us, and you are constantly like that, it's because either you're not bringing the matters before the Lord or you're feeding upon wrong kind of things. Friends, heaven's bread works. It grants salvation. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. This is the work of God. This is the work of Jesus Christ. He makes people live forever. What a thing He does. Oh, if you feel your sin this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can work in you salvation. And this is one of the great privileges of being a human. God has given us and created in us a conscience. But regardless of how a man lives or what path he chooses to live, salvation will never be produced in the life of any person anywhere unless they come to Christ by faith. Your conscience will not be satisfied except in Jesus Christ. And that may seem narrow-minded and simplistic, but that is what the Bible teaches. And that is how it always will be. And that is how it is experienced by millions of people. And there are many, many things, my friends, that we don't know. There are many things in this life we can't guarantee. We don't know what happens in our parliament. We don't know what happens with Brexit. We don't know what happens with the U.S. presidential elections. I don't know what happens with the economy. I don't know what happens with the way things are working out with COVID-19 and all of its implications and the people involved and with the nations. But I do know, and the scripture assures us that one day we must all face God. That is one thing we know for sure. One day we will face a holy and just God. And I do know that every one of us by ourselves, we are guilty of sin against this holy God. And we must give an account of ourselves to Him. Or else we would be punished. Because God is so holy and God is so right. And it would be the right thing, the most fair thing for Him to punish us. But also, I know that every sinner who comes to Jesus Christ by faith, He's so compassionate, He's so loving, He's so caring, that He died for sinners like us. And if we come to Him repenting of our sins and trusting in Jesus' blood, He will save us by His grace. And He will give us eternal life so that we might live forever, live for God's glory now, and live in heaven forever after we die. And this is our satisfaction. In verse 35, the Lord says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Boys and girls, young men and women, You're trying to find satisfaction in this and that. How is that working for you? If you are seeking anything, any satisfaction, any happiness in anything else, you are feeding from and drinking from a cup that has holes in it. It will never satisfy. It runs out. It is a moldy bread that you're feeding upon. The things of this world, they moth and rust do corrupt, the scripture says. Don't satisfy yourself with them because you won't. But Jesus Christ satisfies our souls. Do you know the word tantalize? The English word tantalize. It comes from a Greek word. Do you know what it means, tantalize? Tantalize means to torment or tease someone with the sight or promise of something that is unobtainable. That's what the dictionary says. To tantalize, it means to torment or tease someone with the sight or promise of something that is unobtainable. It comes from the Greek because it comes from Greek mythology. It's the king Tantalus. He was punished by being chained in a lake, and its waters reached to his chin, but it just fell short of him, of his lips. Every time he bent his head to drink of the water would recede. It would just go down. And then above him were branches of fruitful trees. But he couldn't reach it either. So he couldn't drink and quench his thirst, and he couldn't take the fruit of the tree. And that's where you get the word tantalize from. And it pictures the person who is unconverted. That king pictures you if you're lost. You're reaching for the things of this world to quench your thirst, and it just goes further away from you. You try to reach out, but you can't get to the fruit of the tree that you're seeking after. And it doesn't satisfy your soul. But Christ does. And nothing else will satisfy. Everything else will be utterly futile. Here the Lord Jesus gives us security. And he says those who the Father brings to him will never be lost. They will be secure. Their security is guaranteed. Those who come to Christ, they will never be forsaken. So much could be said about this, my friends. He guards us. He guides us. He cares for us. Because he has given us this gift of salvation through himself. So, friends, what would you say then to these things? Without bread, you die. Without bread, you are going to starve to death. What a tragic picture that is. Thankfully, you and I, we have not been starving physically, but we have naturally been starving spiritually. And Jesus Christ is that heavenly bread. Are you going to survive? Are you going to live? Only Jesus Christ makes you live. The real person inside you, your soul is starving without Jesus. Your soul is dying without Jesus. And if you live without God day by day, year by year, you're going to die forever. You need that desperately. You need that heavenly food. Soul's food is not eaten by mouth. But soul's food is taken in by faith. And that is Jesus. So when we repent, when we trust, he puts a spiritual life into our soul. And as we live and obey for him, he guides us. He answers our prayers. He blesses our souls. He adds more and more, and he satisfies our souls. He nourishes our souls. That's what you need, a nourishing food for your soul. And this food that Christ gives, it will last forever. It endures to eternal life. When he forgives us, when he converts us, he puts a spiritual life in us. Something that will happen in us which will never wear off. Once a true Christian, always a Christian. So eat of him. What does that mean? Believe on him. Trust in him. The crowds wanted to know what work they had to do to obtain that bread which Jesus Christ could give? And the answer was simple. They were to believe in him whom God had sent. That's what the Savior said to them. Bread is easy to eat, but it is useless if not eaten. And Christ is obtained only by faith. Life without Jesus Christ, life without the salvation is just toil, it's just trouble, it's just hard work, and it gains you nothing. What a blessing to have salvation. What a blessing to be satisfied in Jesus Christ alone. So here it is. What would you say then? Are you being satisfied in your life? Are you truly joyful, happy, secure, forgiven, with peace of God? Well, feed on him then. May God bless these things to each one of us. Amen.